Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's David Nagel. I'd like to welcome you to What's the Truth? I have a special guest on today, Amy McGlynn. Amy, how are you?
Super duper.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
So how can we help you today? What's going on?
I have a hobby, and it's doing stand-up comedy. And it's a great, totally fun hobby, except that I managed to just choke all of the fun out of it and make it a white knuckle experience the whole way through. And I love it. I really enjoy it. And a lot of times I cannot find the joy in it, though. I really kind of make it more difficult for myself than I need to. And even though I know that, I can't see my way out of it. I have no idea what's blocking me from that joy that I should be getting from this awesome hobby that I have.
Have you ever enjoyed it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. When do you enjoy it?
When do I enjoy it? I enjoy it... bits and part. What do you mean? Like what's the part that I enjoy? Or well,
I'm assuming that there's times where you enjoy it, and then there's certain times that you don't. Like you is that like when you're in front of an audience, or like what is the scenario that makes the joy go away?
Most of the time the joy goes away when I know I have a show and I have to write, and I have to like come up with this material, and I guess I feel like I have to be brilliant. You know, and a lot of people get stage fright when they're on the stage. I get stage fright when I have to write. I get like humming, like I can't figure out what to do next, you know?
How do you do an improv?
I don't know. How do I do anything? I don't know.
What I mean is, how do you do, like, do you get stuck in an improv situation, or does it just flow naturally?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how to answer that question, but I will say this. I like to write behind the mic, so to speak, like how they say, you know, like you kind of just get up there and just start talking and
right.
Stuff comes out. And that's my most favorite way to do it. And the best stuff comes out that way. And yet sometimes I just cannot do it. Like literally like white knuckling it. Like, I can't get up there.
Okay. So there's two different things going on here. There's one is when you sit down to write, you freeze up.
Yeah.
But then there's sometimes before you get on stage, you freeze up. Am I understanding that correctly?
Before I get on stage for an open mic, like if I'm going for a show, I know my material. And of course I get nervous, but I'm not like freezing up. I'm like, you know, as prepared as I can be for that. It's more that improv scenario that you're talking.
Okay. So If you freeze up when you're writing, how do you get to the point where you are prepared, where you can go on stage?
Well, it's a lot of drama, but how do I get to, I make it complicated. I just eventually start writing. Usually this is the process goes, I don't write like day after day after day. And I put it off for a really long time until it's so painful that I have to write, and I start to do it. And then I get like, you know, my comedy friends involved, and I start doing open mics, and it feels like it loosens up a little bit, but it's still, you know, super tight and tense, but that's the process. And then, you know, and then you just refine the material from there.
Yeah. So, all right. So let me ask you a question. When it's really hard, what is going through your mind? Like, what are you feeling in your body? What's going through your mind at that point that makes it so difficult to sit down and write?
Yeah. I think it's that pressure to be brilliant, you know, pressure to be funny right away. And, you know, you're not always funny right away. Sometimes you have to develop funny, you know?
Right.
So it feels like it's that pressure to, yeah, just make it happen and be brilliant right on the spot and just be like, that was just a little thing I wrote, but sure, I can do that on stage, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. There probably is more to that, but that's my immediate reaction there.
Well, it's an interesting thing because it's not just something that happens in comedy. I kind of experienced that in professional speaking in a way. I used to, when I first started, I would sit down and I would write out everything that I was going to do, like if I was doing a seminar for 3 days. And I was over-preparing for a situation. And I was working with my mentor one night. We actually met for dinner, and it was the first time I was going to be teaching with him. And I brought down, I had gotten to the hotel. He said he was at dinner, meet him down at dinner. And I brought down all of this paperwork, like everything that I had prepared for 3 days. And he said to me, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, this is everything that I prepared for the next 3 days." He said, "Oh, we're not doing that." And he didn't even look at it. He's like, "We're not doing that." And I said, "What do you mean we're not doing that?" He said, you have to understand something. You already know this. You don't need to prepare that to go do it. He said, you need to let spirit lead you when you're on that stage or when you're in that room. And I was like sweating, like, there's no, how can I do that? There's absolutely no way.
I feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it. And one of the things that I learned from it was that, I'm one of those people that can go up there and everything that I need just comes to me. It's like I download for whatever I need for the room in the moment. And it's interesting because if I sit down and try to write a podcast or overly prepare for any kind of a speaking thing that I do, I go through the same problem that you do. It just doesn't come. Yeah. And it's frustrating and I avoid it and it's nothing, but it seems like the closer I get to the date when I have to do it, all of a sudden everything comes in at once. Mm-hmm. So instead of beating myself up for 20 years for being that way, I've just decided to trust it. And that exactly what I need, whatever the topic is, whatever the information, like however it is that it comes to me, sometimes it comes from a conversation I'm having or a movie I'm watching or something will hit me at the last minute and I'll know that that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I've learned to trust it and it's made my life tremendously easier. Now, I will say that if I'm doing a seminar that I've been doing for a long time, they're never the same. And they're never the same because I believe that I get information for that very specific room. And sometimes it doesn't even come to me till the morning that I'm about to go on stage, right? Which can be a little nerve-wracking.
I mean, that's where my knuckle comes in. That's where you're like, oh my God. Yeah,
but here's what I realized. It's never not there. It's never not there. Once I get on the stage or once I get in front of the room, it's there. Yeah. And I can't explain where it is or where it comes from or anything, but it's just there. And I've met other people. I've met musicians, actors, actresses, comedy people, like any kind of person that is in performance that goes through that, they've learned to trust it. And they've all told me the same thing, that it's never not been there. Like there's many times where they'll be walking up the stairs to go on stage and they don't know what the hell they're going to do. And it's always there. So like one of the greatest things that you could do is take the pressure off by realizing that it's always there. Now, the other thing is that while I'm up there, it's almost like there's another part of my brain working at the same time where it's seeing how things are working or not working. And then I make mental notes to make changes for something that I'm doing. Like if I'm progressively building on something over a period of time. And I think that you could do the same thing. You know, it's recorded, it's coming out, you see how it's landing with the audience, you make notes of what's working, what's not working, and then you can build off of that every single time, you know, that you're building your routine for whenever however you're doing it.
Right. So you're saying like do one and then that audience that time, change it for take two, next time you go up on stage, it's going to be a different audience, but build on it.
Yeah. So like if I get something that works really, really well, I'll make a mental note that worked really well. Right. It was funny or it had an impact or whatever. And then I will build off of that the next time. Right. Yeah. So I'll use it in a very specific situation and then I'll start to build off of it. But that's how I do it. So it gets built from one event to another. And then afterwards is when I sit down and I make my notes. Mm-hmm. Like on breaks or at the end of every day or during lunch or whatever, I will sit down and I'll make notes about what's working, what's not working, what I want to change, if I didn't like something, if I specifically liked something. And then it just keeps building. It builds until it becomes, you know, like a whole day worth of material or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's the trusting it, because you can get up there and do it. Like if you have to get up there and do it, you can get up there and do it. And that's a unique gift. Like when somebody, like you don't know where it comes from, but you just get up there and do it. You have to trust that's there. When you trust it, you take a lot of the stress off yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Can I ask you this though? What about the times when you bomb, right? I mean, you're going to bomb and it's inevitable if you're doing it long enough, and then it's not there. And then you're like, wait, what do I do with that trust now? Like, how do you look through that lens of trust when you feel like, oh, I was up there and nobody laughed? Like, that's not great.
Well, it's not great, but my understanding is that's how most comedians build their routines. Like in small clubs and stuff, they go test it over and over. They adjust it. They work on the timing. They work on the language, you know, the delivery, all that stuff. So I think that it's part of it is that, do you do it that way? Is that how you build out your stuff? Yeah. So it is just about a test. It's about not taking it personally and understanding that some things just aren't funny, or the way that you delivered it, or the timing of it, or whatever. And then you just make your own mental adjustments around it. Yeah. I don't ever take anything that doesn't work well on the stage personally. Like sometimes I'll think that I'm saying something that is just fucking hysterical and nobody laughs. And I'm like, that's really interesting. Like in my head, that was funny as shit, but nobody laughed. And I don't, it doesn't bother me that they don't laugh, but I make a note of like, I wonder why that did not land right. You know, sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not obvious. So, but I think that it's like your audience is a test kitchen, and you're, the genius also comes out in those moments. Yeah, the stuff that doesn't work comes out in those moments. But for most people, that genius does not come out on a piece of paper sitting in their office. They need an audience to play off of. There's something about the feedback and the energy of the room that transforms a performer when they're on that stage.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it if it doesn't, you know, I mean, obviously, like if you were going to do you know, a Netflix special, or you were going to be playing in a major arena or something, like you would make sure that you had it all worked out before you got there. Yeah. But those little audiences, that's what that's for. Those are the spaces that's actually for.
Okay. All right. So have an attitude more of trust and maybe even play is what you're...
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I am always trying out, like I'm constantly taking in information, playing with it, and then regurgitating it out to an audience, whether it's on a podcast or it's in small speaking engagements that I do, or it's larger events. Yeah. But it's all working up to something, just exactly the same way that you would do it. And it's building. It keeps building, 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 building. And then a lot of times that's where actually a new seminar will be born. Like something will happen in the moment of a seminar, and I'll see clearly a whole new seminar that can be created out of that, or a whole new podcast that could be. I mean, What's the Truth was created in that exact way. I was doing the regular podcast. People were responding to me helping individuals in small snippets. And I said, we're going to do one that's all that it is. It's called What's the Truth. And it's helping a person get to the truth of whatever their experience is so that they can go out and live it that way. And then that was it. We did it.
Right.
So, and then it's all spontaneous. Like, I don't really know anything about you before you come on and you give me your information in real time. And then we just see what happens. But see, I don't care if this bombs, like if it flops, if it doesn't work, that doesn't bother me. Right. The idea is that it's authentic and that we just see what genius comes out in that moment. Because I think for most people, there's a lot. It's just having the confidence in yourself to allow that to happen. To not be so reliant upon the appreciation or the approval of your audience to determine the outcome for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And I think it's more though for me. Well, I mean, the audience is a big deal. Like let's not, you know, I can say, it doesn't really matter, but that's a big input and you want to kill it every time, of course. But I think it's also that my process the first time was very rigid and I wrote it all down and I, you know, had it a certain way. And then, you know, your second time and third time, that's a totally different thing. Like your first time is something totally different. So I had to change the process too, like you're saying, from writing it all down to just going up there and being
100%
doing the improv.
Yeah.
And that for me, like transferring that trust from a piece of paper and I, you know all the words and I say all the words to, I go up there and I just don't know any words. I have no words, you know, like that's like a totally different situation. And a little bit, it's like scrambling my brain. Like, how do I do this then? But you're saying just trust.
Just trust. And yeah. I think it, there is a pressure because here's what I think about anybody that performs. I think that there is a genius that flows through them in whatever they do, if they get themselves the hell out of the way. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And so okay. Go ahead.
So when you're stressing about creating that or having it 100% before you get up there, you're getting in the way of that place where it happens naturally, where you're not actually thinking about it. It's just spontaneously happening just like that. You're riffing off the energy of the audience. You're on a roll. The jokes are coming to you. Like it's all just there in the perfect time. That's when we get ourselves out of the way. That's when a musician who's practiced, you know, all the finger movements and the notes for 10 years, they don't even think about it. They get up there and they don't even think about it. I've heard countless musicians say that there's no way that they could play the way that they did if they actually thought about what they were doing. Right. They had to get their head out of the way of their hands or whatever, however they're playing their instrument and let it flow through them. Actors are the same way. Good speakers are the exact same way. They have a foundation of what they're going to do, but really the genius comes out when they actually get on there. And then they craft it from speech to speech to speech, and they get better and better and better. Generally, the audience doesn't know how something was supposed to land. So what I have found is like if I can do something that's not funny, and then I can actually call attention to it, I could be like, you guys didn't laugh. I thought that was really funny. You're a boring ass audience, you know? So if you're comfortable on the stage, you can get away with anything, really. But what you can't get away with is like going into fear because they'll eat you alive if you do that. So just be yourself. I'll bet you it makes a world of difference for you if you just do that. Just trust it.
Yeah.
Just trust it. And you'll always have the little butterflies or whatever going up. Most people do to some degree. I think that that's actually a good thing.
It gives you that energy, but you're saying like getting into fear is just, that's killing it. And sometimes it's like, where am I now? Am I butterflies? Am I fear? Like, you know, what am I even doing? So that can, it's a slippery slope sometimes, you know, like it can really suck you in the fear.
Yeah, it totally can. And it can suck you into a place where it's not only not productive, but it can destroy a career. Like a person can get a phobia around it and they just can't seem to break it. I just wouldn't worry about it. Like you're going to have the new mindset around it is that you're going to trust that whatever you need is going to be there when you get up there. And then as you do it, you're going to build off of that. So you'll take it, you'll see what works. And here's the other thing, even the best comics who have the timing down, if the energy of the audience is off, if they can't adjust to that, they're screwed. They're completely screwed because every audience is different. Like every audience is different. The energy of the night, the energy of the audience, you know, what's going on in the world, like it all makes a huge difference. And it's just getting up there and playing off of that, feeling that energy and just doing what comes intuitively for you. Okay.
All right. So it's for me, I hear like, perform more often, like do even more of it, like keep going, do a lot of it so that when you kind of have to finally do it, it's like easy for you. It's not like you're on the line right now. It's just, you're just like doing another night. It's another thing.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And there'll always be part of the audience that doesn't like you and part of the audience that does. Right. So just don't get overly concerned about the audience in your head. And I think that's where a lot of people make a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True. Okay.
Great. And then they don't let their brilliance out when they're up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that.
Just be like, I'm going to let spirit lead this and whatever I do, it'll show up. It'll show up at the right time with the right thing for the right audience.
Right. Okay. You know, I mean, when you say that, I feel like, all right, easier said than done, David, but there's also just kind of like, what have you got to lose? Like just try it too.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Happens.
Yeah. See how it feels.
Absolutely. And like you're a student of comedy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, so the other thing is that you're consuming like the comedy that you consume for yourself. That is a major part of what ends up coming out of you, right?
Like, well, you know, that's a good point. I don't really consume that much comedy because I get nervous that I'm going to like somehow say their stuff on stage or, you know, like I'm going to, you know, like I Miss Maisel, like I don't freaking watch that show because I'm like, I don't want to know anything about her. I might end up, you know, like good doing a show in a speakeasy. And the next thing you know, like it's like, I got a lot of stuff around that too. Like I am a student of comedy in the sense that I develop my own voice and my own, and I, you know, and I go to class and improv and all that sort of stuff. But I have a block around other people's stuff like that. And maybe that's like,
it's okay. So what is your, where do you pull a material from? Life, like, or specific genres of life? What do you pull it from?
My own life, like my, you know, like ridiculous, like going to bar class, like how ridiculous is that, you know, and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So you can see the humor just in daily life, in a thing.
Yeah.
So that's your consumption, right? Yeah. So your mind is always trying to find the humor in the things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis and what's hysterical about some of those things are ridiculous or whatever. Totally. So you're always thinking in that way. Like that is always going on in the back of your mind to turn this into something. And that is in a big way, that is a huge rehearsal for individuals because most people's brains are not working that way. Yours is wired to work that way. So every time you think about something that happens and you think about where you see that this is funny or this is not funny or it's stupid or what is the twist on this or whatever, you're literally creating in that moment. And I think you store that information in like this vault of content that is in you and it comes out at the right time. It absolutely comes out at the right time. I have no other way to explain it. Like I said, I'm not the only one that does this. I have talked to, I can't tell you how many professionals that make their living, you know, on stages, and they have all told me the same thing, that they take in so much information and it's the way they think that somehow their subconscious mind is regurgitating it when they go out there and it's just there.
Wow. Okay. And I never, like when you say that, like that, not all people think like this, like that never dawned on me.
It's true. It's 100% true. That's your gift though. That is your gift. Yeah. That you're able to see the world in that way.
Okay. I mean, that's a good nugget. Cause I feel like when I do this, when I get up on stage, I'm like, what are you looking at me for? Like we all do this. Don't we like, here's your $5 back. Like, I'm so sorry that you're here with me. You know what I mean? I don't notice that. And it sounds trite. I know that it does, but just for you to say that, I'm like, oh, and also, you know, when I'm in comedy class, like all these other people are funny. We're all doing the same thing.
Right.
But I don't recognize it that way. So it's good. It's good.
Yeah, it is. The things that come easy for a person who understands what their gift is in the world, they very often tell me that they didn't realize it didn't come easy for other people.
Yeah, no, right.
It doesn't. That's why you're on the stage and they're in the audience.
Wow. Okay.
They need you to point out what's funny in the world.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll tell you what's funny. Well, and so the whole idea of getting up on stage and just let it, I'm kind of stuck there. Like I'm a little bit stuck before I open my mouth in front of the mic, mentally, I'm there and you're saying, just trust it. And I'm saying, David, I'm like sweating through my shirt right now. Like what's you got a book, you got, you know, what you got there that I could kind of move ahead?
Have you ever read any of Stella Adler's work?
No, never. This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Really? Yeah. So let me just look here really quick. I got to think of what the name of the book is. I think it's called The Art of Acting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. The Art of Acting. And she also has one called The Technique of Acting. Mm-hmm. So she was one of the people that came up with method acting.
Right.
What's interesting about it is the idea that you become that character like the whole time you're in character. You don't break character. And there, what's really fascinating about it is I think that for people that are professionals, if they literally become that thing that they want to be on stage, that it's not something that they do. It's something that they are. It's a big shift that happens in the mind. But you also have to remember something, because there's a power play that happens when you're on stage. When you're on stage, if you'll remember that, for whatever reason, those people are actually paying to see you, right? Those people want to see you. They want you to give them an experience.
Yeah.
You have something that they don't yet have, and which really puts you in control of that room, if you understand that, if you really understand that, because number one, they don't know what to expect. They really have no idea. So you could take the room in any direction that you want to go, which means you could start off being up there on the stage any way that you want to start it off, and then you get to take it in whatever direction that you want to go. And if you go up there and you know that you're the one that has the power to direct that, and that you can, if anything, like if something was to go wrong, you don't have to internalize it as some kind of a devastation. It could just be you're going to redirect when something like that happens, that you're going to be totally fine. You all of a sudden you realize that that audience is just basically they're hanging by a thread waiting to see what it is that you're going to do. You've got all the power to do that. And there's nothing, there's nothing that is absolutely devastating about bombing on stage.
I know. I've done it.
Right?
It isn't. The opposite, though, that whole idea of having the audience there with you, you know, hanging on by a thread, like you're kind of leading them and you know where you're going next. And it's not the bombing necessarily that I'm afraid. It's more like that's where I would, that feeling is just like, so great. Like we're all doing this together and I'm going to show you what's next. And you know, like
that
phenomenal magic. And you know, I can't get out of my own way sometimes to get that. Like sometimes I hit it. And then sometimes it's like, not today, sister. No way.
But what have you figured out what the difference is between those 2 days?
Well, I think it's, no. The honest answer is no. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
The consistent thing is, when I'm in my head, it's just killer. I don't kill, but it's killer, you know, I just find myself preoccupied with some situation in the room that I can't get out of my head. And it's like, I don't just go for it, you know? That's what it is. However, sometimes I'm really in my head and just reciting my bits and doing my thing. And people are like laughing like crazy. And I'm like, what, how do I do? What's the formula? Or maybe there's no formula.
What do you get preoccupied with in the room?
The last time I did a show, the comic before me killed, and she had a lot of friends in the audience. And, when she got off the stage, most of her friends left to congratulate her and tell her what a great show she had. That left me with like half the audience there. And I got up and I didn't notice that shift had happened. And I got up on stage and I got my first laugh. And so that's great. Like usually, you know, you get your first laugh and you're like, all right, I can kind of relax. And then I saw and I relaxed. And then once in that moment I relaxed, I was like, hell is everybody? There are like three people in the audience right now. And it really like messed with me, and they weren't impressed with my material, by the way. So, you know, it was just kind of like, whoa, what happened? There's nobody here. Like, what happened? And instead of performing for those people that were there, I was like out the door in the lobby, like, where are all these people? Why aren't they coming to listen? Yeah. So that's what happened at the last.
Yeah, those things happen sometimes. I had a seminar one time that are very in the early days of when I started the company. I was told there were going to be 300 people there, and there were three. And I had to do a seminar for three days for three people. So I know the pain that you're feeling. It was very tough. But what I decided was that those three people paid to come see me and learn from me, and I was going to give those three people the best 3 days that I possibly could.
Yeah.
And that also that was never going to happen again. But yeah. I think that, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of weird things happen on stage, and I think it is about taking control of the situation, you know, like making a joke out of the fact that you've lost all your audience before you even got on the stage. I mean, like, how unfunny is that, right? Like, yeah, I must really suck to lose half my audience before I even get on the stage. Yes,
and that would be perfect. And yet I didn't have the presence of mind. I was just like in a black hole at that time. I was like, wait, I've got this whole script, worked super hard on this thing. I know I've got, you know, one laugh every 16 seconds here for you guys. And yet, boom, you know, like that. So that mental shift, like, is that just practice, you think?
It's thinking about the audience. You're there to do something for them, right? And it doesn't matter who's there or who's not there. Your job is to give them the best of you that you possibly can, regardless of what changes in the room. That's what I would focus on. And I would take the focus off of yourself. My focus every time I walk on stage is, how can I help these people? I don't know what that's going to be because every audience is different. So I have to learn to kind of read the audience, figure out what they want. You know, in your case, it's like you can figure out what's funny, what's not funny, how to tell it, what the energy is in the room, and just deliver the best that you can. And realize that no matter what the reaction from the audience is, you benefited somebody's life that day by being up there. Like, yeah. you may never know. You may never meet the person. They may never be able to tell you, but you know that you did.
Yeah.
You did something good for people that day.
You're right, David. One person did tell me they liked my material that night. So
there you go. There you go.
Right. So in terms of like, my mind is going back to like, you know, the original question, how can I make this like not a white knuckle process for me to prepare to get up on stage?
Stop focusing on you.
But focus still on them. Still do the writing. Still.
Yeah. Yeah, in the way that you do it. Okay. So don't do it in a way that works for somebody else that doesn't work for you. It may not work for you to sit down with a yellow legal pad or okay. your computer and start typing out jokes. Like, if that doesn't work, don't do it. If those things come to you in bits and pieces and you need to get them down, record them on your phone or whatever you do, do that, right? That is what works for me. It does not work for me to just sit down and start writing. It comes to me in bits and pieces, and I put all of it together as I'm just going through whatever it is that I'm actually doing. And then when it's time for me to get on stage or do a podcast or whatever I'm doing, all my thought is, how can I help that person? And I will give you everything that I can where I can help you. And if I can't help you, then I will say you need to go somewhere else for your help. And I have no problem doing that, you know? So, and I think for you, it's you're an entertainer. So your job is to just try to entertain them the best that you possibly can that night and get out of your head and focus on the audience.
Okay.
Where are they? Where is this audience?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That lands.
The other thing is that you can tell if you're not the first on stage at night, if you listen to the comics that go before you, you can kind of tell where that audience is.
Mm-hmm.
We do that in speakers world by listening to other speakers that go ahead of us just to see what the audience is responding to also, and not to necessarily step on something or contradict something another speaker said before us, because if they love that speaker and you contradict them, it could be a complete bomb for you. So it's just a professional practice that a lot of people do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it can feel like a minefield or a roller coaster. Like,
it can. It can
a bit right there and all that sort of thing. And it feels really tricky, but I guess that's the whole thing. I know that that's the whole thing. I'm just not very, like, I'm not pro and I'm not looking to go pro. Like, I'm looking to entertain my friends and neighbors here in New Jersey, like we're just hanging out Friday night, let's have a couple of laughs type of thing. But yet you have to be at a certain level of proficiency in order to do that.
Yeah, you do. And what's important is that you think it's funny. That's all that's important, is that you think it's funny. Because there will be people that think it's funny, and there will be people that don't think it's funny, right? I mean, you have somebody like Kevin Hart, who's one of the greatest comics out there alive today. There's some people that don't find that guy funny at all. Like, right. There's some people that are offended by his comedy. Mm-hmm. That's not his audience. He's just looking for the people that think his life is funny.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you just keep working that. You just keep working that out. So get out of your head.
Yeah.
Focus on entertaining the audience. Don't worry about mistakes, because they don't know mistakes if they were to see them anyway, right? They'd have to see you night after night after night, and then be able to judge what's a good night, what's a bad night, what worked, what didn't work, what did you say backwards, you know? Like, they don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And just take it all like with a grain of salt. You know, there's nothing that is that important to get that upset over, and start trusting yourself. Really start trusting yourself when you get up there.
Okay.
But just own it. Just, you know, own it. This is who I am. This is, you know,
yeah.
And allow yourself to be that person.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Good.
I'm feeling you.
Good. Very good. I'm telling you, it'll help. It'll help tremendously. Because once you get that pressure off, then you realize, oh, I really can't get up there and screw it up. Like, if I go up there, even if I'm having the worst night of my life, if I go up there and I give it the best that I can, that's the best that I can for that night.
I know. And that's where, like, I hear you, but I don't like what you're saying, you know, like, because, you know, you craft a script. Like, I craft my scripts that are there. It's like, I craft a sentence like, am I really busy or am I very busy? Like, what's funny? Are really busy or very busy? Really busy. Really busy is funny. So we're going to say that instead of very busy. Like, that's how I craft it. Like, I can't, that's me. I can't not do that. Right.
Okay.
So when I get up on stage and I say, I'm busy, and I didn't say really busy, like, you know, like, that was like a couple hours out of my life now gone. You know, I like didn't do it. I didn't do the thing. And so I get.
And then what do you do with that when that happens? Do you beat yourself up over it?
No, I don't beat myself up, but I do feel it is kind of a bummer, you know, cause you in comedy, like you're taught, like you have to maximize every second. I mean, I forget the metrics, but it's like a laugh every 15 seconds or something like that. You know, it's like good comics get a certain amount of laughs every few seconds, and it's tight, you know? So you are like crafting this stuff. So everything's like a metaphor and you're just like really into it. And so you lose one of those. For me, it's like losing a little baby. It's like, oh my God.
Now you're focused too much on the rules.
It is too much. Yeah. And it hurts. It's painful. It's painful for me. And it's uncool for the audience. They're like, forget about that baby. You got like 15 other babies, you know? Like,
Exactly.
But I want it all, you know? I want them all to be there. And I want everything to kind of go the way I want it to go. But that's what you're saying. Like, Amy, just freaking drop it.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. So anybody that's going to teach something to someone, they have to look at it and break it down into some factual information in order to teach you. And they say, okay, if we look at all the professional comics that are big hits or whatever, they have a laugh every so many seconds.
Right.
You have to do that to maintain an audience. The first thing I would say is I would believe that that's complete bullshit. That's because it's not true.
Right.
It's not true. What's important is that they have a good time and they laugh, not how many times they actually laugh.
Oh.
Right. So if I get stuck on how many times they laugh, I am going to, if I tell one of my things or I blunder it and they don't laugh, I'm going to be fucked going into my next one because it's going to start messing with my head. So that's not the idea. The idea is that they laugh, that they have a good time, not how many times they actually laughed.
Yeah.
And I think that some of the symptoms that you've told me are coming from you have too much pressure on yourself. So your mind is going to miss things because it's hyper-focusing. If you take the pressure off, you'll find that it's all there. I've done that like a million times where there was a point that I wanted to make, something that I wanted to interject in this one space, and I didn't do it. I completely forgot. But I just like, okay, whatever. Sometimes I'll make a note and carry it with me or whatever. I don't really care. I've seen comics do that, by the way. I'm sure you have too, where they actually have their things on notes or on their iPhone, you know, and they're kind of going through their material.
Yeah, and that's a trend now. Now it's like totally fine to bring your phone or your notebook up on stage. It's like not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, like you're taking it way too serious.
Yeah.
Okay. And which makes it about you, not about them.
Right. And like, get over it. And that's the fun of the whole thing is that we're talking about comedy. And here I am like choking it to death, you know? I'm making it like, oh my God, how can I maximize my laughs? Like, shut the fuck up. Stop maximizing your goddamn laughs. Like, just chill out, you know? Like, there you go. There I am, tightly wound. Take it or leave it, you know? It's like, I get you though. Okay, that makes sense.
You could even turn that into a joke.
Fucking A, you better believe I will.
No, you paid for a laugh every 16 seconds. If I don't give you so many laughs, you get a discount at the end of it or something, right? Exactly. Like, you know.
Exactly. Some of these places, it's just a nickel a laugh. So if I miss one, you know, it's just like not really a big deal.
Right.
It's not a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. Okay. All right, David. I don't know. It feels like I hear you. I don't know if I would be able to do it.
You will.
Right at the gate. But
just let it go. Just practice. Let it go. Just get up there.
Yeah.
Just get up there and focus on them and be like, I am not going to sweat it. All I'm going to try to do is have a good time up here. And if I have a good time, they'll have a good time. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. We'll try it.
It takes a little practice, but actually once you get to the place where it feels comfortable, you'll never go back to over-preparing again.
That is my desire. Like, that is my desire. I know there's a pocket there. I know that there's a pocket where I just, like, get up there and I just deliver my stuff and I sit back down and I have a gin and tonic and I feel, like, great all day long, you know? I know that that's there. That energy file is, like, so close to me. It's unbelievable. I just can't figure out how to pull that thing. I don't know where that file is. Like,
it's actually pushing the file of focusing on yourself in. It's putting it back in the drawer and just letting yourself have fun. Yeah. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Okay.
Don't focus on yourself or don't focus on your mistakes. Just focus on having a good time.
Wow. I mean, that's a big, you know, and that's a big shift because that's like, don't focus on your mistakes.
It is.
Some of us were raised to focus on our mistakes.
Most of us were raised to focus on mistakes, but don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. Okay.
And then let me know how it goes.
I will let you know how it goes for sure.
Okay.
Awesome. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for being on What's the Truth.
Thanks so much. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
See you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.